This is The Method. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. In the early 1950s, a girl named June Kent borrowed an encyclopedia volume, the letter A, it happens, and in reading that volume, June learned about astronomy, aeronautics, and a new field called astronautics, sending machines and people into space. Years later, June Kent would marry test pilot Dick Scobee, and the two of them shared an excitement about Dick's role in the space shuttle program.
When Dick Scobee flew his first mission, he came back from space and within a couple of hours wanted to tell me before he told anyone else about the joy of flying.
On a bitterly cold morning in January 1986, June watched from the ground as the shuttle Challenger disintegrated shortly after liftoff, killing Dick and six of his colleagues. After the Challenger tragedy, June helped establish a living memorial to the crew and their curiosity. Today, 40 Challenger science centers across the country help children learn about technology, math, and engineering concepts they may put to use in their careers. June remarried. She's June Scobee Rogers now, and she lives in Chattanooga.
Krista McAuliffe was my friend. We were both teachers. We shared our common interest in teaching and making a difference for students. And I wept, in fact, I wept in Nancy Reagan's arms at that moment and said, I will continue that education mission. So I gathered with the other Challenger families and asked them if it's something that they thought we could do. They said, sure, June, you're the educator. You be the chairman. Go make it happen. But with their support and kind sharing of this mission that we were on, we were able to accomplish it. Lots of people that helped, a great big mighty team that got involved to help us with the seeing through this idea to build the Challenger Center, to continue that teacher mission.
How has the mission of the Challenger Science Center and the affiliated organizations all over the country changed over the last 30 years? And I think specifically I'm talking about how maybe the individual scripts or missions or plots for the kids who get involved are structured, because now we have better computers, better simulator technology, if you want to use that terminology, that may change the way things are done. So tell me a little bit about how the centers of today might be different than they were when they first started.
Well, the early centers, 30 years ago, we called science, math, and engineering, or engineering technology. We called it SMET. Of course, it's STEM today. We created a scenario that's the mission idea of what the children fly in order to accomplish their goals using all that science, technology, and so forth. But we've grown the scenarios. Besides the first one that was to rendezvous with a comet, we've gone on to lunar missions and Mars missions, saving planet Earth missions, and of course, team leaders at our headquarters office and around the world, they have updated the technology that includes a great deal more animation and visuals for the students. Before, we were out in front of any kind of technology the kids had ever been introduced to. Now, they are quite aware and comfortable with the technology, so in a way, we're keeping up with them and trying to stay ahead.
The importance of human spaceflight among the public and political leaders, of course, has fluctuated wildly since NASA was created in 1958. And right now, we're in an ebb tide stage where space exploration is not perceived as being particularly important either to political leaders or really much of the public, it seems. How do you feel about that?
If you could look back to the last 50 years, starting with Mercury, Gemini, Apollo, and Shuttle, certainly every teenager knows the benefit that we received on planet Earth from exploration. A youngster couldn't use a cell phone or use the GPS driving the car or any number of things that they use daily. If the future is based on what we gained in the first 50 years, just imagine how far we can go. Not only the technology science behind it all that we receive, but the inspiration, the excitement of the next era of space flight, And we have all the technology available to us. We just need to have the let's go do it, gals and fellas.
What has been the most surprising thing that you've learned or encountered in your years of association with the Challenger Science Centers?
The brilliance of the people that I've been associated with and the generosity of people who helped us, not only in the beginning to create the Challenger Center, but helps to support these Challenger Centers all over the world. It was surprising to see how the enthusiasm was contagious from one center to another. A governor would see one and want one for his state, or a congresswoman wanted one for her city, school superintendents that want them, university campuses. It's greater than my wildest imagination. I would have been happy to have had 7 centers to begin with until I saw the benefit and the great spark that it brought to youngsters in not only their imagination, but focusing their dreams on what their potential could be.
June Scobie Rogers serves as founding chairman of the board and as a founding director for the Challenger Center for Space Science Education. She is also the author of the autobiography Silver Linings. And Dr. Rogers joined us from a studio at WUTC in Chattanooga. June, thank you so much for the conversation.
Thank you, Brandon.
One more note. On Dick Scobie's first space shuttle mission, STS-41C, in 1984, President Ronald Reagan called up from the White House to speak with Mission Commander Bob Crippen.
Hello, Bob. These calls...
President, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Well, these calls between the two of us are becoming a habit. I promise you, though, I won't reverse the charges.
I don't think I can afford them, Mr. President.
Well, once again, I'm calling to congratulate you and the rest of the crew aboard the Challenger there on an historic mission. The retrieval of the Solar Max satellite this morning was just great, and you and the crew demonstrated once again just how versatile the space shuttle is and what we can accomplish by having a team in space and on the ground.
In the course of that 6-minute-long conversation, Reagan mentioned every crew member by name, except Dick. June Scobie was upset, but Dick seemed unperturbed.
I asked him if it didn't make him mad that President Reagan mentioned everyone's name but forgot his name. And he said, oh, June, what was important was the mission. It was a great, successful mission, and it truly was.
You've been listening to The Method. Special thanks to Mike Miller at WUTC in Chattanooga for engineering our interview with June Scobie Rogers, and to the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in California for the audio you just heard. Subscribe to our podcast through iTunes U. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth.